Hey, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. I'm Eric Mork. I'm the host. And what we do is we give you short, informative shows all about Silverlight. Kelly, Brian, welcome to another This Week in Silverlight, recorded March 25th, 2010. How are you guys?
Doing good, Eric. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Brian. Doing great, Eric. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, glad to be home. Glad to be recovered from a mix. Okay, so let's jump in here. Let's start out with some news, and I'll just start off, and then we can move our way around. So Bill Rees actually has a great post on whether you should use XNA or you should use Silverlight for your game. So in case you don't know, Bill Rees is a Silverlight MVP, and he specializes in game development. Actually, I think now he's actually working for Vertigo, which is pretty awesome. Yeah. So this article is pretty good if you're thinking about, well, should I go the XNA route or should I go the Silverlight route? Because right now, for Windows Phone, you can choose one or the other, but you can't choose both. So,
now, one thing that I don't understand with that, Bill talks about a lot of the things that were mentioned there at Mix, but one thing that's not talked about is the battery life, right? If I do a game in XNA, and then I do the exact same game in Silverlight, you know, and the exact same game as far as playability, you know, is it going to drain the battery faster in XNA versus Silverlight because, you know, event-based and maybe not repainting as much versus XNA repainting every single frame?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question. I don't know. In XNA, Silverlight is sort of lazy redraw, right? So it only redraws things if it changes. And I guess I never really thought about whether XNA was that way or different. I think there's some potential it's different, right? Because it's all about, you know, GPU, and there's an expectation of having some hardware under you. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out. Maybe one of our listeners knows and can write in.
Just from Mix, there was a session on performance by SEEMA, S-E-E-M-A.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Talking about their drawing pipeline stuff. So I think you can probably listen to that. There's probably some good tips in there for both Silverlight and for XNA stuff.
Yeah, so absolutely.
The pipeline is different for the phone for sure.
Yeah, and her talk was really, really killer. Like, it was pretty in-depth and pretty technical, but definitely worth watching. All right, so let's kick this off. Let's start around. So maybe, Brian, you can pick one and we can go.
Yes, Tim Heurer has a good video on talking about the custom Chrome with the Silverlight 4, because when it released RC, you can actually modify the Chrome around your application now. So he has a nice little video explaining that, how to do that and how to interact with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a big request from partners. Look, we want to be able to make this look like a real application on machines. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm here looking at Adam Kinney's blog, right? And he's got a post up here talking about the install checklist, you know, what you need to do to get the Silverlight 4 release candidate up and going with Blend, with phone development. A lot of stuff came out of Mix. And as I went through and I looked at, you know, silverlight.net, and I tried to follow, okay, what do I install? What do I not? Is there a new version of the toolkit? Which version do I use? You know, I got a little confused and I had to read stuff a lot. Adam lays it out really, really well. And so it's definitely worth going there and looking and checking this out. You know, what do you need to install to do phone or just XNA? Well, those are the same, but, you know, phone or just Silverlight, right?
Sounds cool. Great. Yeah, there's a lot of pieces out there, so that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. There has to be a little bit of guidance, especially when you start to pile the Symbian stuff and everything on top of each other. Yeah, it's getting a little crazy. So also, Jeff Wilcox has noticed that there's not going to be a March Silverlight toolkit, and we were talking about this off the air. So it sounds like the thing to do for right now is to use the November release of the toolkit if you need the toolkit controls or other functionality there. And then we're expecting that in April there's actually going to be another release.
I think Gunthry mentioned something like that during the keynote. I can't remember exactly. There's a lot of stuff going through, so I couldn't find it, but I think he did mention it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's pretty okay with me. I mean, the toolkit has been out of band, and I think that's a pretty handy model.
Sounds great. Came across something real interesting from Bart Shininsky. He was actually working on the Windows Phone in Silverlight, and he decided to try hacking the Bing's map servlet control actually worked on the phone or not. And he found a few issues with that and then able to show workarounds. So like the zoom control and stuff like that kind of popped up in the middle of the screen instead of its normal orientation. And then there was a white banner came across the screen that popped up. And basically, if anybody remember from Bing Maps, servlet control 1, it was kind of dialogue. So he recognized that and then learned how chose a way to work around and work with that. So he's able to hack the Bing Maps servlet control to work on the phone. So very interesting.
Yeah, wow. I'm looking at this and, you know, I got to think a little bit about what's the mapping story going to be like, you know, on the phone, right? As we try to do mapping stuff, is it going to be using this or what's it going to be?
Well, I don't know, but I've got to imagine there's going to be a mapping application.
Right? Yeah,
and I think it's going to be using Silverlight, and it's going to be using Bing. You know, just like on the iPhone, how we punch the map button and get a map. I mean, we're going to see that in Bing. And I mean, especially since I have the Bing application on my iPhone, it's a really good application. Mm-hmm. And you can already see Bing Maps on that.
And there's rumors today about them rolling out some new stuff, like Foursquare, where you announce locations like that. There's a whole bunch of things that are kind of coming out later in the year. I can go ahead and talk about the Silverlight TV. There's a new show that came out today that John Pop announced with Nick Hill-Kahari. Am I saying that right? I'm not sure. But WCF RIA Services doing some validation with that. Looks like an interesting show.
Cool.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but...
Yeah, RIA Services, I mean, the validation stuff there is really, really the thing that makes RIA Services strong. And you know, if you're thinking about your data access technology, I mean, that's one thing to really make your decision on is, do you need that custom or that validation stuff, which is pretty cool. Hey, Kelly, you want to pick up with Silverlight and Windows Mobile Phone 7 sessions for Mix 10?
No, I'm looking at the sessions that were available there for Silverlight Mobile at Mix. And I went to most of them. John Papa did a great job outlining what they were. And he's got links there as far as so you can go and download them, the WMVs, the high-res version. If there's PowerPoint slides, you can pull those down. Geez, he's got a ton more than it seems like. There's a lot more than just phones here, right? I mean, it's Silverlight stuff as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's good to have these guides, right? Like those are the things I always bookmark, and so it's handy to have a list of those things. So also, I mean, just sort of continuing in that vein, a lot of sort of good developer training and information and other information is coming out. And we want to highlight the Windows Phone 7 Series Developer Training Kit. It's on Channel 9. We'll have the link on our site. But if you're interested in getting deep in the Windows Phone 7 Series stuff, that's definitely a link to check out.
Well, they want to have one also, not just for Windows Phone 7 Series, but also for Silverlight 4, right?
Mm, yeah, you're right. And I should have mentioned that as well. So we'll also have the link up there for that, for the Silverlight training course.
And this is an update from the beta 2 to the RC, so.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we get those features. We get the Zap signing. We get the ability to have a full screen Silverlight control, and for it to not disappear, for it not to collapse back to a regular control when you shift focus, which is pretty cool for, you know, Netflix videos and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and you can stop program at the same time. That's very cool.
So Charles Petzl is writing a book on the Windows Phone 7 series, and he just recently released a free ebook. In fact, he did this at Mix, right? The book there, he talks about the discussion of should you do Silverlight or should you do XNA. He's got 6 chapters up right now, but you can go to online, you can download it, and you can read it. There are code samples there that are zipped up. You got to download those separately. But it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool, and he released it right away. Now, some of it's, you know, kind of general Silverlight stuff, but a fair amount of it is specific to the phone, which is awesome. All right, so that's what we have for news. Those links will, of course, be up on the site and in the show notes. And let's move on to rumors. So, Brian, you picked up this tidbit about Dan Wallin.
There's been stuff on Twitter just recently, different independent contractors and stuff like that. Just kind of mentioned they got a little bit more work going on. And Dan Wallin mentioned today that sort of like this keeps exploding. He does both training and contracting. So just from his point of view, he says it's not time to be a Servlet developer because there's a lot of stuff starting to happen.
Yeah, and I can speak to that as well. I mean, I do the same things in the Servlet world, and man, we're seeing a lot of business, which is good. All right. So as well as that, we also have there's sort of a groundswell of public opinion or desire. I'm not sure what you say for John Papa and Mike Talty to make the boot camp stuff live and available on the web. From what I heard, that stuff was just really, really dynamite on the first day of mix or pre-mix or whatever it was. So
that was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Brian who was telling me that people were actually tweeting that because of Mike's talk, they actually want to become public speakers. I mean, that's just great. That's really insane.
Yeah, the quality material is very good. It was being 3 or 4 hours long. It was, you know, pretty quick, so it's not really a lot of depth, but it's a great coverage overall. It's kind of like what you really need to know and what to watch out for. So I'm not sure. Hopefully they make it available, but I guess there's been a lot of requests for it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Mike is so amazing. He, like that, even if they just took that first hour, Eric, right, and they made that freely available, you know, and he did a soup to nuts thing, you know, of Silverlight 4, and that was, he talked so fast, and he was so right on, and each word was carefully chosen, and, you know, I could just digest a ton of stuff really, really quickly. It's better than reading a book almost, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys know me. I was in the hotel room trying to recover from a from a client trip, so I missed it, and I have been kicking myself ever since. All right, Brian, you dug up this thing on the Microsoft partner. Silverlight gives us everything we need. Can you give us a guide to that?
Yeah, this was just put out tonight by the Channel Web people, and interviewing a few of Microsoft partners and just getting their feel of what they think for developing for the Windows Phone 7 series. And there's a few quotes from Scott Stanfield and a couple other people just saying...
Man, that guy is cool, Scott Stanfield.
Yes. And basically just saying that there was questions raised, you know, because focus around 7.7, both XNA and Servlet is all managed code. It's not the traditional embedded development. Right. But he was saying that for developers, there's a large number of developers in the Microsoft ecosystem that are managed code, so it really opens up the opportunity, and then the learning curve to getting in is very easily.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And people are always going to complain when they can't do their p-invokes, and there are going to be complaints when you can't do some of the same things you could do on Windows Mobile, you know, version 6 or whatever. But for me... You know, it's time. We need to move on. And if we lose some of that functionality, I don't know. That's fine with me.
That's one of the things that was mentioned in the article, because Mozilla actually stopped work on their browser for the Windows 6.5 series just because they know going forward it's going to be managed code, so they could stop work on that, or announced they're going to stop work on that.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's their call to make, but there's always the managed C++ route, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. All right, gentlemen, that brings us to the application of the week. What do we have?
So the app of the week, it's called FaceLight. It's Silverlight face detection, done by Renee Schulte? Schulte? Jeez. One of the two, right? But it's really cool. And so it's not just... You got to go check it out. You got to play with it. It's got a ton of feedback today on Twitter. If you go, it's a coding for fun project. And if you go there, you can download the source. You can also launch it live, look at it on your browser. And one of the things you can do is you can say, you know what, pull my face from my webcam and you know, it'll highlight where your face is. If you want to like put an image up instead of, you know, highlighting your face, it'll put up a picture of a monkey. It's the algorithm is really interesting there, and I want to look more at it. But like one of the things that I did is I put my hand up, you know, to the side of my face, and I moved it a little bit closer to the camera, and then it detected that my hand was my face, you know. And I also tried to put a pop can on my head to see if that would mess up the it would mess it up at all, you know, because I got a glare up on the top of my head. And but it's really cool, and it's really fun to play with.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if you guys have ever done any face recognition stuff, but man, that gets complicated quick. I mean, so Renee, if you're not following him on Twitter, we'll have his handle up there, but it's @RSCHU, and that guy is just crazy. He's also the person behind the augmented reality library inside of Silverlight, which you can also find on CodePlex, and you can look at our previous previous podcast to find that. But he's quickly becoming sort of the Silverlight Uber hacker. It's really impressive.
Yeah, he does a lot of image processing stuff. He's behind the Silverlight augmented reality toolkit too. It's on CodePlex. He's done some video stuff, some three-dimensional stuff. So a lot of image processing, advanced computer graphic kind of stuff. He's been a number of posts. So his blog is a great resource.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining me. As we sort of head out, I have one last question. So now that we've had a little bit to digest Mix, had a week, we're rested. You know, what's your sense? Are we in a good spot? Are we in a bad spot? Are we where we hoped we would be? What are you guys' thoughts?
I think it's good and bad. Good, there's a lot of very cool stuff, but bad is a lot of things to learn and digest from Mix. So.
Right,
it took a little while to get through it all.
Yeah, exactly. But that's how we make money, though.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You look out there and you see a lot of articles right now that say, well, like, for example, I saw one today. It came out a little while ago, but it was that, you know, that Silverlight for mobile is not exactly Silverlight 3. There's a few differences out there, you know, and while it's a little bit nitpicky, you know, and I see the same thing with you know, Justin Angel talking about Silverlight, you know, not being the same across platform. Well, that's a different argument, but, and he's got some good points there, but this one about, you know, the Silverlight on the mobile isn't exactly the same as on the desktop. It's not Silverlight, you know, 100%. Give him a chance to get it out the door. You know, it's really early on.
I think that's part of the point, Kelly. It's still very early, so a lot of things can happen between now and, what, October or November when it actually releases. So I think we'll probably see a few drops over the summertime here as well. So,
I mean, it's good to push the team, right, you know, and it's good to give this feedback. But I just see, it seems like a lot of people are, not a lot of people, there's some focus on, you know, what it's not, and rather than focusing on that, you know, I'd like to see some really cool apps being built.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, and I think we're going to start to see those. One of the things is, I think we should take a lesson from the late 90s and say, this idea of write once, run anywhere, it's not going to be true, right? Like, even in the best case,
mm-hmm.
You're going to have battery considerations, you're going to have performance considerations in certain places, and, you know, our applications, I think, are going to have to look differently, you know, depending on where they're presented. And, you know, fair enough, there are going to be some API differences, but yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Think? Are we in a better spot?
Yeah, I mean, the phone stuff is out there, right? My impression, so I've seen the phone stuff, I've seen some of the demos, and I got to tell you, I'm not going to be switching my, I'm going to have a Windows mobile phone for development, don't get me wrong. For my personal phone, I'm not going to switch out my iPhone right away. Just not going to happen.
Well, I think it's going to take a little while for the App Store to get apps and build up, so it, you know, it won't happen in a couple of months here, but...
Right, and that's an opportunity, right? Like, the
exactly.
First ones in the Apple App Store, those people have made a lot of money. And, you know, when they were still charging $7 or $8 an app. So yeah. And, you know, the one thing that Microsoft is really, really good at is just that iterative, incremental, you know, improvement in their products.
Well, it's also for developers or anybody in the sort of like business kind of land grab, because if you have an application or you have an idea already in Silverlight, and if you can port it to the phone, mm-hmm. You have a land grab opportunity to be the first one in the marketplace for that app, so you can actually gather a lot of the marketplace or just that sector. So you have that initial chance to have customers testing your application, working on it. So if you're prepared to iterate it, you can really move fast in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I got to tell you, it doesn't take too many $5, $10 apps before, you know, all of a sudden you're making some real money. So, All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And I look forward to talking with you next week.
Sounds great.
Take care.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 3 or Silverlight 4, check out our website, silverbaylabs.org. That's where we have information about Silverlight consulting and development. If you're interested in training, check out the Silverlight Tour, where I'm an instructor.